Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On Track 1, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On Track 2, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 12, Number 8. In the last edition of Clinical Review, I continued with my review of the next principle of sports nutrition in the series, PSN number 17, Biomarkers of Health. A biomarker is a specific physical trait used to measure or indicate the effects or progress of a disease or illness or condition. A biomarker is like a sign on our internal biological highway, and this can be used to measure the progress of disease or the effects of treatment. A biomarker can be chemical, physical, or biological. Biomarkers play major roles in medical biology. Biomarkers help in early diagnosis and disease prevention and can be utilized to identify the influence of certain drugs or determine individual response to drug therapy. One of the best group of biomarkers known for predicting risk of morbidity and mortality are related to fitness and performance. This is why it's good to have someone formally test our fitness at least once a year, and in the gym 5 days a week year-round, because every time we work out, we are actually testing our capacity to perform. On this edition of Clinical Review, my topic of discussion is called Eat as Hard as You Train. Don't leave your diet to chance. Put as much effort into planning your meal strategy as you do your workout schedule. This advice, however, is by far more difficult to apply than the workout itself, and based on observation and confession, is where the great majority of athletes fail. So why is eating as hard as you train so difficult? Is it because we're incapable of such behavior? No. We fail because we underestimate the importance of whole food nutrition. We fail because we allow our minds to be molded by television and manipulated by conventional thinking. We fail because we allow ourselves to be used by corporations that manufacture and control the vast majority of our food. To be successful as a health-conscious functional athlete, we must overcome the monotony of training, eating, and sleeping at the same time, in the same way, day after day. The body loves routine, and the mind functions best in a healthy, functional brain and body. But the mind seeks variety and pleasure, and it's the mind, especially the emotional pleasure-seeking mind, that gets us into trouble. Do you believe in a cheat day, Corey? I've been asked this question many times. Sure, provided you don't mind if your husband or wife cheats on you once a week. If you're disagreeable with this arrangement, then whatever reason you give is the same reason that I'll give back to you. Cheating is cheating. If we cannot be trusted with a little, we cannot be trusted with a lot. If your diet is truly correct, there's no need or desire to cheat. When your diet is right, you have no desire to cheat. That's how you know whether it's right or not. Showing up is half the battle and beginning is half done. True that. But after we finish our work in the gym, the fun has just begun. This is where it gets tricky for most and becomes a nightmare for others. What do I eat? When should I eat? What supplements should I take? The answers to these questions are derived through the same inductive process that teaches us how to lift correctly, stretch on a mat, or run, swim, and cycle with ideal form and precision. Through desire, principles are actualized, but seldom overnight or without failure. Our world is reinforced with two kinds of knowledge, a priori, or what comes before, and a posteriori, meaning what comes later. A priori knowledge is awareness of something independent of experience. A posteriori knowledge is dependent on experience or empirical evidence. Both are needful and useful. As stated so eloquently by Charles Peirce in How to Make Our Ideas Clear, 1878, to find meaning of an idea, we must examine the consequences to which it leads in action. Otherwise, dispute about it may be without end and will surely be without fruit. So Google everything you can about weight training, its history, and theoretical application, but until you've actually lifted some iron and solved the riddle of steel for yourself, you'll never know how good it feels or understand why people in their right mind do it. Knowledge gained from afar is only as real as our imagination, and you cannot hold imagination in your hand. Thought is the driving force behind decisive action. First, we need to read a book, watch a video, or listen to an audio tutorial. After validation, the next step is personal application. It's the outcome or effect that we're chiefly concerned with. However, it's connecting causality to outcome that separates us potentially from the herd. To ignore causality is to mimic the action of the migrating wildebeest. If you train hard, it's because you want to. Knowing why is half the battle. No autonomic force yet identified in man urges us as a collective to run, swim, and lift weights without some opposition. In fact, less than 5% of first world domesticated humans show up consistently and do the physical work and training required to sustain wellness, in spite of knowing that such effort is highly beneficial. If you eat as hard as you train, you're putting the same energy into thinking about diet and food as you are about your performance. Elite athletes are always thinking about how to do what they do better. They think about skill training, they read articles on exercise technique, and they pay coaches and trainers to push them even harder. But when you sit down for chow, is there someone there to set you straight? Do you have a diet coach pushing you at the table to eat leaner and cleaner? Is your diet as good as your last workout? Do you eat as hard as you train? Eating as hard as you train is comparable to squeezing out sets and reps in the gym until it hurts. No growth hormone is released in the absence of elevated lactic acid. If you turn from the burn, you'll never learn. If you fold in spite of being told, you'll be left in the cold to grow old. Eating as hard as you train means you eat as hard as you run or sprint. Intelligent athletes seek to make training more and more difficult, not easier, because they know that overcoming difficulty is directly related to progress. The same is true with food. All human progress is gained only through suffering and hardship. If you eat soft and for pleasure only, you'll get physically soft, but go down hard long before your time. Eating soft is comparable to training in the gym while talking to someone on your cell. Put the damn thing down, or better yet, throw it in the garbage. Eating soft is like doing push-ups on your knees, squatting halfway down with a barbell, or sitting on a bench between sets and gazing at the wall. Snap out of it. Here's a fast and hard rule. If it goes in soft, it comes out hard. Eating hard means you eat like a scientist committed to reason. Every morsel of food you put in your mouth is fuel for the machine, and your engine only takes high-octane fuel. Yes, it can run on garbage if you compromise rationality for taste or convenience like the herd, but in the equation of life, garbage in equals garbage out. Don't think you can fool Mother Nature like you can fool most men. Biology is foolproof. You can lie about your diet, but you can't hide the effects of your diet from reality. Aristotle said that to achieve self-mastery, we must find joy in the suffrage of necessity. That means we must love doing what needs to be done, and if freedom from disease, lifelong leanness, and outstanding athletic performance is your primary objective, then you have to think of eating whole, fresh, clean food as a necessity. Like exercise, The incentive to exercise comes from the conceptualization of its necessity. To conceptualize, by the way, means to form a concept out of observations and experience. The body won't motivate you to get to the gym on its own. It's designed to conserve energy like a sloth or a slug. Left to its own, it will always choose the pathway of least resistance. Fortunately for us, the tail doesn't wag the dog, meaning the body doesn't control the mind. The mind is the true master. The body serves the mind. For example, lift your hand up in front of you. What makes it go up? Did it raise itself up independent of your mind? No. And what if you lose your arm? What if someone chopped your arm off? Will you also lose a equal part of your mind? Absolutely not. So where is your mind? Where is the thing that commands the body? Don't blame what you eat on anything or anyone but yourself, especially with what is now known in the science and field of neuroplasticity. The architecture of our neurons, just like our muscle fibers, can be molded with the right influence and training, and by default, molded with the wrong influence and lack of training. Either way, you get a mold, you get an outcome, and that affects how we think. The primary role of food is first and foremost to sustain the body with the nourishment it needs for cellular, glandular, muscular, and nervous system function. This is best accomplished by consuming micronutrient-dense fuel in its natural whole state and supplementing with a wide variety of high-quality natural health products. Shake and take, baby. Taste and culinary satisfaction, although an important feature of nutrition, is secondary to the necessity of biological supply and demand. It is illogical to compromise sound nutrition for taste alone, yet this is the rule for the great majority, not the exception. Alas, logic seldom convinces anyone of anything, so here is where I'll make my final appeal to your emotions. They say that everyone wants something, and everyone is afraid of something. So what do you want? To look and feel great? Me too. Now, what are you afraid of? The work that it will take? How about fitting in with the majority or not being accepted by your family, friends, or peer group? Perhaps you really don't want what you say you want, or maybe you simply don't know. Clarity is power. If you do want to be well, and I mean really well for the rest of your life, then you have to overcome fear and do what it takes. Feel the fear and do it anyway. Do what is right. Follow the logic. Follow the math. Use rational self-interest to guide you. The price of freedom is high, barbarian. Are you ready to pay the price? Are you ready to get down and get dirty? Eat as hard as you train. And for those who struggle with the training, the training itself is only an effect. Qi is the energy that flows. So let it flow. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Jerry Rice, considered by many to be the greatest wide receiver in NFL history and among the greatest NFL players at any position. Today I will do what others won't, so tomorrow I can accomplish what others can't.